And now it's letter time. Our editor, Sasha Woodruff, is here with me. Hey, Sasha.
Hey, Fry. How are you?
I am fabulous and ready to tell everyone what folks shared with us this week. So we got a few letters about our Memorial Day coverage about the black men and women who've served in the United States throughout history. Michael Baker of Baltimore, Maryland, wrote us this. I was quite interested in our discussion of the invisible black veterans of World War II. He went on to say that he's tried to teach his children and grandchildren about the plight of the African and Japanese Americans who served during the Second World War. He continued, "To my mind, these two groups were the most loyal and courageous of all American soldiers in the war. They were fighting in a way to prove to whites they weren't just as good, they were better. And they were fighting for a country they were not sure would act like their country when the war was over."
We also got some letters about our segment discussing former Press Secretary Scott McClellan's book criticizing the current Bush administration. Michael Chanfrani in Green Lane, Pennsylvania, wrote us this. I was dismayed by some of the comments regarding Scott McClellan's book, and more specifically, its ramifications. He was accused by one of your guests as displaying a lack of candor. It seems that candor in the book is plentiful. The charge regarding a lack of loyalty begs the question, loyalty to whom? Scott is no longer the spokesperson for the administration.
We also got a lot of letters about our continuing coverage of how race has and will affect the presidential election. Sierra Andrade of Sacramento, California, heard our political coverage and is disappointed that our political analyst thought that race will sway voters in the general election. She wrote us this, "I must say that hearing that people will still base their decision on who they want to lead this country on race is very disappointing and disturbing. I feel that it is very sad that older generations are still thinking in that manner, because nowadays America needs fresh ideas, because where this country is now and heading to is based on old ideals which are not working."
And finally, listener Donna Harvey had a different take on one of our bloggers' roundtables. "I find myself constantly yelling at the radio and fuming at the conversation taking place on the show. Why do you and your guests continue to throw all black people into one category as if we are a monolithic group? I'm a black woman with a degree working on a master's. I live in an upscale neighborhood, and my family income is in the upper six figures, and I am not an Obama supporter. I resent the fact that you and your guests never address the 10% of black folks that are not voting for Obama." And that's it for letters. Thank you for writing, and please keep your letters coming.
To write us, just log on to npr.org and click on Contact Us. When you get there, you'll see lots of shows to choose from. Make sure you pick News and Notes when you write to us.
And be sure to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thanks, Fry.
That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, just because he's the presumptive nominee doesn't mean he'll be elected. Some African Americans are cautiously optimistic. Others don't think America's ready for a black president. And then there are those who don't support Barack Obama at all. We'll talk with people from different generations to find out what Obama's candidacy means to them. I'm Farai Chidea. This is News and Notes.